The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, it can happen in the workplace, it can happen in your home, it can happen in any of your relationships, it can happen in the Oval Office. How do you know when you're being bullied? Well, Stephanie Regan, clinical psychotherapist and co-host of the Tough Love podcast, joins me now. Stephanie, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
So, how to tell you're being bullied?
Sometimes, well, say in the Oval Office was kind of interesting, isn't it? That people, it's very top of the mind. I just looked at a lot of headlines and the word is out there all day today and all through the weekend because people have seen it in front of them. And sometimes it's very obvious. You know, we think of the bully in the schoolyard. We think of the person who would push you, shove you, who would dominate, who would shout at you, who would shout you down. And these are the very obvious behaviours of a bully. But actually, it can be much more subtle than that. Obviously, the Oval Office wasn't subtle. I think it gave us a big reminder of it. But in reality and in your work life and in your relationships, it can be more subtle than that. There are other behaviours like, for example, excluding you from meetings, excluding you from a group. Also, and I suppose it shines up again in the Zelensky case, you see a kind of a compromising of your dignity where you see somebody isolated and you see that person searching to see what is the best way out here. Is it better to respond or is it better not to respond? Mm. And that kind of situation, it's absolutely classic in the bully sense.
Before you continue yes. There, the question is, you may be being bullied and be blissfully unaware of it. Yes. Because it's water off a duck's back. You may feel you're being bullied when that may not be the case.
Yes, that is right. Well, if we go, you know, if we're in the workplace, for example, let's stick with that for a moment. In the workplace situation, there's a very, you know, we have very clear definitions around bullying. The person has to intend to do it. It has to be a repeated behaviour. And it has to be obviously a negative behaviour that is, you know, foisted at you and directed at you. With a kind of purpose, with the purpose of bringing you down a little, with the purpose of making sure you don't flourish in the workplace. So it's kind of quite a tight and hard definition, if you like, and threshold to meet. And because I would meet people all of the time who've had a one-off situation and they're very upset by it. And I get that, absolutely. And we can work through that. But it actually has to be repeated and it has to be intentional. And so we often have to work that out. So people often are at the butt end of a bullying kind of system, if you like, or situation, and they're feeling the impact, but they're not quite clear what is going on, and they're not quite clear what to call it. They're just really building up a kind of a, what we would call a stress response. They're just becoming stressed. They're ruminating on things. They're finding themselves not sleeping well. They're finding themselves withdrawing a little bit, being perhaps tetchy and emotional, being irritable with others or the ones you love and are at home
and
with.
And perhaps so dreading going into work.
And dreading going into work. I mean, I would hear this all the time, the Sunday night feeling, which now has become, I think, the Monday night feeling with the way people work at home so much. But in reality, it is that feeling that, you know, people can relax over the period of time when they're not at work. But once work becomes back on the horizon, their stomach begins to churn, the adrenaline begins to rise, and the tension begins to rise, sleep becomes eroded. These are really good indicators that you are stressed.
Now, if you feel you're being bullied in the workplace and it's an ongoing thing, you make the point it's important to take a note of it, record it, so that it's not your, you know, you can't be accused of imagining it.
Yes, exactly. Like many things, I know I'm always at the write it down thing, but yes, I mean, I would have worked with people in the workplace situation a lot, and I would always say the first thing really is, obviously, from a psychotherapist point of view, I'm trying to help them to navigate all the emotionality of it. So helping them to steady up and work through that stress and get on top of that. So that's just kind of a separate piece. But then in terms of dealing with it in the workplace and in the HR context and all of that, it really is important that you write it down. Just try and write down what happened that day. What was said, who said what, when, the time, and how you felt afterwards. Just write it down, turn the page, leave it there, and continue with your work and do the same, the next time. So having an account is really important because your perception of events can be, you know, obviously with how emotional one can be, it can get warped and you also can forget. So it's patterns we're looking for. Therefore, writing it down is really important.
Now, to try and respond to the bully, obviously, sometimes the bully is looking for a reaction, whether it's an angry reaction or a cowed reaction. So how should you handle, once you recognise you're being bullied, how should you handle it?
Well, really, once you recognise what you are dealing with, which is the benefit you get sometimes from talking to someone else, is that you push back a little. In other words, that you name the behaviour and you say it. And you say, I am not comfortable with the way you are talking to me and I want it to stop. That's enough. Write it down and say it. Do you know what I mean? Get it ready in your head and say it. And I would prep people a little bit like that, because if you can, you would be amazed how sometimes that is enough. That is shocking to hear. But sometimes the person who is doing that has been doing it for so long and they feel it's so normal, and they probably got rewarded for it endlessly as people stepped back from them, that when you say, like a click of the finger, I want you to stop talking to me that way, I am not comfortable with it and I need you to stop, often they stop.
If you go back, though, to the Oval Office when Zelensky did try to explain, not even fight back.
Yes.
And I hated the way some of the media reports were about a shouting match. The people who were shouting, the people who were obnoxious were Vance and Trump, not Zelensky.
And what was interesting, so there was something you could see there. There was, looking at it, I could see the orchestration of it, whether it was intentionally orchestrated or it was what you would call unconsciously orchestrated. They all agreed with each other. They'd obviously had discussions where there were negative feelings in place about this person. The criticism, I thought the attempt to diminish him by pointing to his clothes is a very... Again, it's a very bully tactic. It's speaking about how you look, you know, your physical self. It's almost, it reminds me of the old, almost when people in the schoolyard would be called fatty, spotty, specky. You know, these things were accepted many years ago, that you could call people names. And when you talk about somebody's appearance like that, that's what's going on. It's that low level of bullying, a very basic level of bullying. And I thought there was something else, if I may say, what really jumped out, and we see it in the workplace as well, is that the bully often surrounds themselves with, obviously, like-minded people, as people do. So you get people being rewarded for supporting the bullying behavior. And this, that becomes a really, we know about the bully gang. Think of it again in school or work. There is often a team, and they have, obviously, they are around the bully, because they have not stood up to them. And as a result, they're elevated, if you like. So you often have a group of people, all of whom are agreeing with each other. And so when one turns, they all turn. And that's a more complex system to work into. And obviously, it's even more complex if they're at the top of the organization.
And you see it, obviously, in movies like Mean Girls, where you have the gang of mean girls.
It's contagious.
And it was compared by one of our listeners, what happened in the Oval Office, to, you know, mean girls on speed. But when you have someone who's the leader of the free world being the bully, it's very difficult for anybody to either stay calm or talk back. Or, you know, walking out might be the intended consequence of the bully. So you try to stay put and keep your dignity.
And exactly. And that's often the case that people find themselves in. And I think I thought what was, we all got a wonderful kind of viewing of it. But also it was when Keir Starmer spoke yesterday, I thought he was so good on saying it's nobody wants to see what we saw, but it's how we respond that matters. And I think that's sometimes exactly what's required, that people just let it stand and let it sit there for what it is, so everybody can see it. And I thought it was interesting how Trump and his team and Vance, how it was all about the disrespect of them, which was quite interesting, wasn't it? Whereas they're shooting out the lowest levels of respect to this person who has been fighting a war for 3 years, but they actually can't see it. They are so... Their thinking is so completely inverted that they actually see this lack of a suit, this lack of a big thank you for them. They see this as disrespect, which is kind of extraordinary, while they shout down to this man and point fingers and almost pushed him, which I thought was kind of extraordinary as well.
What was really extraordinary is they point to a man who's basically coming out of a war zone wearing the suit, if you like, of a war hero,
of combat.
And that was unacceptable to them, whereas the T-shirt of so-called tech genius Elon Musk in the Oval Office is utterly acceptable to them. Quite bizarre.
Quite extraordinary. But I thought, I think it's a really good example as well of how silence, you know, has a certain power. I mean, everybody could see it, and the whole world has seen it. And maybe in a way, the power is that the veil has been stripped back, and there are no excuses. Everybody knows what good behaviour is. We're not all diplomats, but everybody knows what decency is. And I think that's what got, in many ways, shown up. The true colours were shown up in the Oval Office. And I think that's a good thing for everyone.
Well, I suppose it tells us all what goes on behind closed doors in the Trump administration. Bully, bully,
and
bully.
Sometimes, exactly. And sometimes when we see the behaviour and we really know it in its starkest way, and I know where we've scooted off there, but, you know, in the normal way of life where people are bullied, and it happens all of the time. I see it at meetings. I see it where people are shut down, where people will talk over everybody, where they dominate the agenda, where they insist on their way, where they glance past what other people want to say. You know, there has to be silence for people to be given an opportunity to speak. If every word is filled, if every gap is filled, only the loudest can get in.
Stephanie, thank you very much for joining us. Stephanie Regan, clinical psychotherapist and co-host of the Tough Love podcast.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.